Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, we cover a lot. We have the impeachment. We get into the Weinstein stuff. And Gergis has some inside info. He's got some boots on the ground in that Weinstein trial and some very informative information coming up on the Weinstein trial as well. I think you guys will find pretty informative stuff you can't find in the news. First, I'll tell you about LegalZoom, making the same old New Year's resolution that won't stick. Change it up this year at LegalZoom. How about it? Make 2020 the year you officially start your business or finally get your will or living trust up and running. For 19 years, LegalZoom's helped more than 4 million people, providing resources to resolve personal and business legal needs. Get started quickly online. If you have questions or need advice, they have the right people to help you. Mark Gergis tells people to go. He tells go get it at LegalZoom. If you can get it at LegalZoom, you know, the stuff he does, you're not getting at LegalZoom. But if you can get it done at LegalZoom, you're going to save. So he will tell you, go to LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So you don't have to worry about the billable hours, but you can count on their network of independent attorneys for advice at the right price since they don't charge by the hour. It's LegalZoom. Right, Gary?
Right. Go to LegalZoom.com today and enter the promo code DOUBT in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code DOUBT, LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Bertram tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time. You will save the day with it. A sack of Ozzy's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Ozzy's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Gergis and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on. Mandate, get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla, and it's Mark Gergis from Utah, right?
I am in Salt Lake City. When was the last time you were in Salt Lake City?
Oh, God. 3 months ago?
The 25th of something.
Yeah.
As I remember, right?
It was probably It was probably like November or something like that. Time is, I can't keep track of time anymore. It's too fast. It's all too fast.
It's amazing to me. As we're speaking, I've already done my jury voir dire, or as the judge would say, to speak the truth. And as we're speaking, I've completed, I don't know, three of the witnesses and the opening statements. But as we're speaking right now, or I should say as we're dropping, we've done all that. As we're speaking right now, I'm giving the opening tomorrow. Isn't that wild?
What's the case?
Okay, so this is a case. Gary, are you there?
I am here. I have been living this case, learning about it for the past couple hours.
Okay, would you, I think the one headline is my favorite, because I think it's the single best criminal law headline of all time in the Salt Lake City Tribune.
Are you referring to the one that reads, trial for, oh no, I'm sorry. Let me see which one you're talking about here.
It's one that's got armos, polygamists, and tax fraud all in one headline. which I think is one of the best things I've ever read.
I'm not sure I have that one.
Yeah, Salt Lake City. Hold on. I know I've got this one. It's something like Trial Exposes Polygamous Use of Alleged Armo Gangster in $500 million Tax Fraud, which what? I think is just beautiful in terms of using language.
It says, trial aims to explain how a Utah polygamist used an alleged Armenian gangster to launder biofuel money through Turkey.
Wow.
I mean, that's... Adam, you're checking some boxes there, aren't you?
Sure. What are you... Yeah. What makes Mark Garagos decide, beside hearing the word Armenian, what makes you decide to get involved with a case like this? Okay, what's the vetting process?
Let me tell you why this is. Okay, my client is Lev Derman. That's his name now. Used to be AKA Levon Dermenjian. I have represented Levon on more than one jury, prior jury trials. And I've known him for, I think, 20 years. And I've tried, I don't know, three jury trials with him and one court trial, all ending in acquittals. And pretty much as the third acquittal, I had told him, just, you know, you don't want to hang out here in America anymore. They're kind of, you know, they're done with you. You're done with them. And so he took that advice and kind of was hanging out in Turkey. And then next thing you know, this is polygamous a pejorative or is that complimentary? What would you call it?
I think it's complimentary. I think it's like calling a gal full figured versus fat.
Well, apparently it is in Utah a felony to have multiple wives. So here they don't call them their wives. They call them spiritual wives. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No,
so you
I did
can
not
have a wife. Yeah, because it is a felony to have more than one wife in Utah. But here, so what they do is this this polygamous offshoot of the Mormon Church. They were banished by the Mormon Church because obviously don't follow the precepts. It's called the Kingston Family Order or the Davis County Cooperative, or it's basically a group that's been engaged in generations of frauds. And the original founder of this cult, for lack of a better term, which was three generations ago, had a bunch of kids, and they've got a hierarchy of males that run this operation. And Gary, can you kind of, I can't keep up with the number of wives and kids, because the number of wives and kids, Adam, you, I think you and I can relate on this. I've got a wife, I've got a couple of kids, and that's as much as I think I can handle and have been able to handle for 30 some odd years. You've got a wife and a couple of kids. You got Olga, I've got Marcy, and that's about as much as you can handle, right?
Oh, I've always said, like when people say, oh, you're a Gemini, you have two personalities. I go, I got half a personality. And yeah, I'd like to have like half a wife and one and a half kids.
Yeah. Gary, how many wives, spiritual wives included, and how many kids do these guys have?
All right, so one of the guys involved has 28 wives and over 300 kids. Another guy has 18 wives and 150 kids. Another guy has 14 wives and 150 kids. Another guy is an underachiever. Right. He has 3 wives and 26 kids. Another one with 16 wives, 140 kids. It's crazy. The numbers are out of control.
It's the most insane. The one guy in this Paul Kingston, who's kind of the guy who runs the order right now, and is the mafia chieftain of this group or this cult. He's the one, Gary, who's got what?
27
wives and how many kids?
28 wives. Well, 27 spiritual wives. So presumably there's a real one, 28 and over 300 children.
Okay. And he's younger than me. He's between you and me, Adam. And this guy, I feel like the underachiever here. I've got one wife. Adam, you've got one wife. This guy's got 28.
All right. So, first off, how do they work this out? They give them a name like spiritual wife, and it's not above the board with the government or the municipalities? Is that
apparently? But you know, this the as I unravel this thing, and you know, when this is played, you will have heard the opening, and I'm sure the government will go crazy because the government, you know, they now want to go after my poor Armo from L.A. Because they got a guilty plea from the poor guy who is now cooperating with them, who's got, he says, Gary calls him the underachiever. He's only got, I think, 4 wives and what, 20 something kids?
26, I think.
Yeah, 26 kids. And the government, your U.S. government, the IRS, is using this guy as their chief witness. This is the guy that they're going to ask the jurors. We want you to listen to this guy. We want you to believe what this guy is telling you. And this is what I'm dealing with.
All right. So your guy's currently where?
Here. He's in Salt Lake City with me. In custody in the, I don't know, one of the local facilities.
He's behind bars.
Correct.
How long has he been incarcerated?
He was originally arrested in August of 2018.
And what's he being accused of?
Supposedly, he is the mastermind of the biofuel tax credit that is that the order, this cult of polygamists, has been operating for generations, apparently since before my guy was even born. And now that they've got the one son who's kind of the black sheep of the family, who's been caught, and now he's blaming everything on my guy.
What did your guy do? I mean, I know you can't say what your guy did, but what is your claim?
The worst thing that my guy did was receive a gold-plated Bugatti, supposedly, from this ne'er-do-well polygamist with his who basically was trying to avoid paying tribute to his uncle who runs the cult with a iron fist. So he was, unbeknownst to my guy, he was using my guy as kind of his way of avoiding paying tribute to his uncle, who has Gary. How about Paul Kingston's got how many wives again? 28.
Paul has 28. Correct.
How?
And how many kids? How many?
Over 300. They don't. I don't think they can really count that high.
You know what I really want to do? I want to have Paul Kingston. I may subpoena him to come into court. I want to have him come in and I want to show him pictures randomly of his kids, and I want to ask him what their names are.
Well, if you want to have fun, I'll throw in a picture of Sonny, and he could go.
Why don't I do that? You know, but Sonny has the look. He's got a look. He's got a Kingston look to him. You know, it's a strong jaw, right, kind of light hair.
Yeah, send it in, and he'll go, oh, yeah, little Larry. That guy's he's my best friend. We were just playing catch yesterday.
You know, it's funny you say that, Adam. Do you remember the McMartin case many years ago, which
sure.
was the child molest case out of the McMartin nursery school?
Yeah.
I remember doing, when I was just a brand-new lawyer, I was sitting in. I was hanging out as a lawyer in the preliminary hearing. And I'll never forget my co-counsel showed a picture of Jim Hahn, who was then the city attorney or the mayor of L.A. He was both, but I think he was the city attorney, and asked one of the kids at the nursery school, was this one of the guys on the airplane who flew you during lunchtime at the nursery school, and then you dropped into the ocean in a parachute? And they identified him as one of the guys who was flying the plane.
Right. Yeah, and that whole thing
never
turned out
happened.
To be a crazy witch hunt hoax, and it ruined everyone's life, and you know, you can do that. You can do that to kids. And sadly, now you can do it to adults. Back then, you could only do it to 5-year-olds. Now I think you could find a 35-year-old and hold up a picture of James Hahn and he'd tell you he was the pilot in the plane. Like, it's all creating narrative. I want to ask you about Dershowitz and the Trump impeachment, and I got to
forget Ken Starr. Don't forget Ken Starr.
Ken Starr. I have a side question that just popped in my head. Kaepernick, Nike, TV, Super Bowl commercial. That sounds pretty plausible to me. But tell me about Ken Starr and Dershowitz.
Okay, you know, first of all, by the way, everything you and I have been talking about for 2 years in this whole thing, the idea that I've been telling you and you've been, extrapolating from about how this kind of mirrored the Clinton impeachment, and I've talked about Ken Starr repeatedly, and on this program, we've talked repeatedly about how this mirrors, the defense mirrors what we were doing with Susan McDougall. The idea that now Ken Starr is talking about how this is a crazy exploitation of impeachment and a perversion of impeachment, when he was the one who brought the impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton, is just mind-boggling to me. I mean, at least Dershowitz is consistent, because Dershowitz, when it was the Clinton impeachment, was against it, arguably had said stuff that was hypocritical. But his presentation in front of the Senate, I thought, was masterful, especially at his age. He's still firing on all cylinders. But Ken Starr's, I just thought, was atrocious.
I didn't see.
Did you watch it?
I saw a little bit of Dershowitz's. I think Dershowitz is smart. He tries to get out of the partisanship part and sort of focus on the Constitution and the facts. And it makes everything more palatable, because you don't feel like it's coming from a pre-existing posture. I also feel like if you took everybody who was on the other side of the Clinton impeachment making the opposite argument, right and left, and told them they had to leave the chambers, maybe Dershowitz would be the only one left.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, because Lindsey Graham, I don't even know, I wakes up in the morning and says this, because I've said this before on the show. I mean, 20 years ago, I had respect for him. I mean, I understand that he believed something, what he was saying. I got it. I understood it. I didn't agree with it at the time, but I understood the position. But I mean, when they play the clips and he just, kind of inverts himself and perverts himself, it's just too much. I mean, it really is. At least Dershowitz has been consistent. He's been, intellectually honest, contrary to virtually everybody else. And Mitch McConnell, I don't even know where to begin.
What are we doing with witnesses?
Well, I think it's apparent, ironically, I'm in Utah, and it's early in the week, and by the time this drops, things may change. But I think Bolton has played this masterfully from a financial standpoint. Bolton's got a manuscript and a book that's obviously been bought. He's creating a buzz about it, and he has selectively, he didn't want his testimony to come out in front of the House because the book wasn't ready to drop, apparently, and he wanted it to wait until the impeachment happened or in front of the Senate. Now, all of a sudden, the manuscript is in play. Now there's an argument over whether the manuscript is hearsay, whether it should be admitted. But here in Utah, the senator, Mitt Romney, is now talking about that it looks like he wants witnesses, he wants to hear from Bolton, and it was just reported as we're recording this that Mitch McConnell has said that he does not think he's got the votes, which it has to be 50, to avoid calling witnesses. So if they call witnesses, then the question is it just Bolton? Is it Bolton and Mick Mulvaney, or is it Bolton, Mulvaney, and then Hunter and Joe Biden?
Well, it's an
interesting, of a fascinating, I mean, it really is a fascinating 1-2-3. The Joni Hurst, who's the senator from Iowa, who's saying, we're going to use this to expose him before the Iowa caucuses. You and I talked last week about the political ramifications, and after all, impeachment is political, no matter what you want to say. You can compare it to legal. You can compare it to a criminal proceeding. But at the end of the day, it's all political.
Well, here's an interesting thought. I think the concept several months ago was that Biden was, you know, leading the ticket. He was going to be the nominee. And so Trump was working his battle plan against Biden. Would be like, you know, if Belichick was in the Super Bowl and the Titans were playing the San Francisco 49ers to see who played him in the Super Bowl. And he thought, well, the Niners are going to win that game. So I'm going to start coaching and planning against playing Garoppolo and the Niners and all that. And then at the end, it turned out the Titans won. And now you have a different team to face. And so
right.
I think Trump was saying it's going to be Biden. And I'm going to get a jump on this and talk to the Ukrainian guy and see if we can dig up some dirt, because then when we get into a debate and he's talking about cronyism and nepotism and all this kind of stuff that he's going to be leveling at me and my corporation and my family, my kids are all involved, then I'm going to come back and get him with this Hunter Biden business and beyond with the Bidens, who clearly are, look, they're trading, you know, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's pay for play or play for pay or whatever it is, but it's, look, you're the vice president of the United States and your son's sitting on these boards and you got a brother's doing stuff and it's based on what you're doing. So whatever it is Trump is accused of doing, he's going to accuse you of doing, and good luck winning that in the public forum. Now it looks like Bernie is at the top of the polls. And none of this is going to work with Bernie. You're going to have to completely construct a different battle plan, a different game plan with Bernie than you would for Biden. And Hunter getting up there and being eviscerated on the stand is fine, but what does it serve Trump if Biden wasn't going to be the nominee?
It doesn't at all, and I'm going to tease it because I've got a late-breaking piece of the puzzle that I want to throw into the mix. But first, Tommy John. Guys,
oh, yeah.
Valentine's Day. Oh, it's around the corner. The only day of the year. You don't want to get caught with your pants down, especially when I'm in Utah. Make sure you're wearing your Tommy John. Legs never ride up. Waistband never rolls down. Impossible, virtually impossible to get a wedgie. And for the lady or ladies in your life, Tommy John has ended visible panty lines. Whoa. Plus, the most comfortable bras on the planet, limited edition Valentine's Day underwear, and loungewear gift sets for him and her. All sets, get this, Gary, Adam, 10% off.
I'm wearing them right now. Best pair
so
you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee.
That's exactly right. Right, Gary?
That's exactly right. Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets and get 20% off your first order when you go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
And this is what I was going to tease. So what we've talked about this in a couple episodes. There is a group or an investigative firm that's hired somebody that's keeps trying to intervene in Hunter Biden's paternity case. Because they figure that gives them, they can file things, that gives them all kinds of ways to put stuff into the public sphere where they can't be sued because they've got a litigation privilege. Hunter Biden, as I'm speaking, it's been announced, settled and agreed to the back child support and an ongoing child support order, which would then take that out of the mix. So obviously, based on what I'm seeing, they figure Biden's in it to win it from the Biden camp, and they realize that this has become a real problem. Somebody's told Hunter, you got to settle this thing and make it go away.
So it looks like is this a safe statement? If Bolton goes to the stand, then we'll see Hunter Biden go to the stand.
I think it's a fair statement that if Bolton takes the stand, and I can't imagine that the Republicans are going to let this happen. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a Hail Mary here, because if Bolton gets up there and pins the tail on the donkey, so to speak, it's going to so Trump, pun intended, anything that Hunter Biden would say. And Hunter would say, basically, you know, I got this, I got that. I think it gets washed away. And I think you're right. I think that they're somewhat more worried. The calculation now has changed. I think that all of this stuff happening, we talked just briefly about this last week, all the stuff happening between Elizabeth Warren and Biden, and the kind of the ginning it up and the talk about trying to, I think there's a worry now that Elizabeth Warren could be a problem, more so than Biden, actually, if you're taking snapshots.
Could be a problem for Trump?
For Trump. Yeah, I think that the Trump camp is worried that she's got, that her populist appeal is a real threat, and that Biden is kind of lost some of his momentum.
I think they feel, at least according to this recent poll I saw, I think it feels like Biden is losing momentum and Warren is losing momentum and Bernie's picking up steam.
Do you think that Bernie against Trump, how do you see it? What if Bernie wins the nomination? Bernie versus Trump, what's your prognostication?
Well, I always like to say glam rock gave way to grunge. You know,
glam rock, a.k.a. Trump,
right,
toilets.
Right. Yeah. Gave way.
Grunge with my hair's never combed, kind of hunched over.
Wearing a cardigan with the dandruff on the shoulders. I mean, we don't do, you know, I was listening, and I know you used to book Perkins Palace, so you understand how this stuff works. It was a great music venue that I went to as a high schooler in Pasadena. I was listening to the song Four Dead in Ohio by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, singing about the Kent State shooting, and was and I was listening to the Michael Naughton song Making It, which is all disco, I'm making it, boo boo, I got the you people are like roller boogieing to that song. And I, you know those songs? The songs are 5 years apart. One was 74, the other was 79. Like, they are right, they're in the same decade. And so we don't go, when we move big. You know, we don't go, well, I'm going to go from glam rock to kind of glam rock. No, no, we go to, there could be no two, making it. I mean, picture Crosby, Stills, and Nash singing about Vietnam. And Creedence Clearwater Revival singing about Vietnam and Nixon and Southern Man and all that kind of stuff. That was a few years before this. Okay, so going from Trump to Biden is kind of it's kind of like going from Twisted Sister to Queen. You know, it's like not quite as much hair and makeup, but still in the same file.
Well, as long as you're saying that, what is going from Obama to Trump?
That's it. That's going from grunge to a hair bands. I mean, that's what we did. We had 8 years of the Four Dead in Ohio. He's talking about Nixon and tin soldiers and dead co-eds. All right. You get it. Look, we had 8 years of the most measured, whether you're talking about melanin, hairstyles, it didn't matter. We went full. We just swung as hard as we could. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to swing hard the other way. I mean, look, who could be further away than Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan?
Right. Well, that's why I've always thought that Buttigieg had such a, you know, he would be the perfect pendulum swing from Trump. But I guess Bernie would make more sense, right?
Well, if we're working our rhythmic wheel, it's either four more years of Trump or Trump swings to Bernie. That's the way it feels to me. Now, because the thing about the way our society is working these days, I don't know if anyone wants the middle anymore. We want hard right, hard left. Like we want extreme. The middle feels, we either want the hot tub or the snowbank. We don't want lukewarm. Now, it's weird because we all live in lukewarm. Lukewarm is everyone's day-to-day life, you know, but no one, you can't make a TV show about it. I feel like everything needs to be entertainment, you know? And
well, that's kind of, and you know, Trump understands that. That's how he picked his trial team. He wanted Sekulow, who was a TV lawyer. He wanted Dershowitz, who is an accomplished lawyer, but also is very effective on TV. And Ken Starr's got a gig with Fox, so figures add him in. And Pam Bondi, did you see her outfit? Her outfit looked like it was perfectly well suited to the background of the Senate well. So, you know, he understands that completely.
So I think it could be Bernie Sanders. Now, I don't know what, I mean, I have no idea what the platform is with Bernie. I mean, I know what the platform is, but I just can't imagine it. But on the other hand, if you think about all the stuff that seems sort of unthinkable to men of our age and our position, it is a reality to so many 25-year-olds. It's unbelievable. I mean, stuff you know that doesn't work and isn't true and can never work, that is something that they have dreamt of, this utopia, their entire, you know, adolescent adult lives.
Well, it's interesting because also within the past, I don't know, 5 days, Joe Rogan came out and endorsed Bernie, famously or at least infamously saying he's been, I forget what the term was, the adjective that he used, but insanely consistent.
Yes.
And it was, I think that was it. And then the reaction to that, the hard left went, you know, 51-50 psycho about that, because Rogan is this homophobic, racist, blah, 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 white male. And how can Bernie use his endorsement to, as a, you know, to give it the imprinter of the Bernie bros? It's ridiculous because we can't accept that. And, you know, that failed that litmus test. What do you think about that?
I think if you are constantly purifying everything, if you're drunk driving in California used to be 0.14, whatever it is.
It was a point. It's so when I started, there was 38 or whatever years ago. There was nothing. Then, because they kept losing it, it was
0.15.
0.15. That's what it started. Yeah, right. 0.15. And then it's gone all the way down to, in California, 0.08. But here in Utah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a 0.04.
And California is probably pushing to go to 0.04 or to lower it as well. I would argue we should raise it because cars are a lot safer. You know, my car practically drives itself. But anyway. Not a popular platform.
Well, clearly, Lynette and Paulette's cars drive themselves.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I would also argue, and you're an attorney, you tell me, but when I pass those signs on the freeway, the big light-up electronic signs, and it says, buzz driving is drunk driving, I say, well, now sober driving is buzz driving. I mean, do the math. You can't turn my buzz driving into drunk driving. You're taking sober people and bringing them into the... Everything moves up, is what I'm saying. You're lawyers. That sounds strong to you?
I love it.
05. Well, you know what's so 0.05. Funny. Sorry, I'm just going to finish this thought. 0.05 yeah. In Utah. Now, here's the deal. If you are, like, progressive Bernie fans, if you're going to keep lowering the blood... the amount of alcohol in your blood till it's 0.00001, then every person you pull over is going to be a drunk driver. You're going to keep changing it. Eventually, someone who had a shot of cough syrup before they went to work in the morning, you're going to bust them and throw them in a drunk tank. And that's what the super progressive left does. They just keep going. And so if you say, something that sounded completely sane 10 years ago, which is, hey, in a combat sport, a person that was formerly a man shouldn't be able to transition, become a woman, and then fight a biological woman and then crack her skull open. That doesn't sound fair to me. You're something that would have sounded incredibly sane 10 years ago. You're now in some sort of bigoted, hater, homophobic, transphobic, whatever. You get cast into that corral. So
yes. You think it's funny you said this, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what I'm about to ask you to do?
No, hit me.
Do you have the snapshots from the State Bar website?
Yes,
California State Bar website.
Oh, yes, I do.
What?
Okay.
What's going on?
You're not going to believe this. One of my lawyers sent this to me, went online this week, California State Bar, when you want to renew your license to practice law in the state of California. I wish I was making this up because nobody's going to believe this. Gary, read the categories that the State Bar makes all 295,000 lawyers in California make a choice between.
Well, Ace Man, it's your choice. You want to start with sex orientation or gender identification?
Let's start with sex.
Lesbian or gay, bisexual, heterosexual, pansexual, asexual, or not listed, please specify.
Wow. Your dad would never stop spinning in his grave, or maybe he is.
My father, if he saw this, would take his, you know, when they went back during the Iraq war, when guys were throwing shoes at George Bush.
Yes.
My father would take his shoe and throw it at the head of some Supreme Court justice for saying, how in the frick? And we haven't even gotten to the gender. Wait till we get to gender.
We're getting the gender.
Yeah, you picked the way I was hoping you would. What is your gender? Select all that apply. I like that one.
All.
Female, all. Male, transgender, gender variant / nonconforming / non-binary, two spirit, or not listed, please specify.
Wait a minute. Were the guys in Utah, some of those two spirits, their wives? What is two spirit?
It'll put you over the legal limit for driving.
Utah. I don't even wait, Gary, one more time because I still
what's
can't,
two
get
spirit?
My, I can't wrap my head around it.
It's just, how do you spell two spirit?
Like you would a drink. Two spirit, like a ghost. S-P-I-R-I-T. T-W-O space S-P-I-R-I-T.
Yeah,
so the options are female, male, transgender, and then gender variant / nonconforming / non-binary. That's all one option. And then two spirit, and then not listed, please specify.
Jesus Christ. Imagine
Adam.
Yeah.
I just paid Boring Cops $550-something renewal fee to the State Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay it, but Margot did because, you know, he handed her the thing. I literally, and it would have been on Ben's dime. I think I would have protested and said, as long as you are identifying two spirits. I've got a third spirit. My third spirit is I don't believe in currency. I don't believe in cash. I don't believe I can't pay because I'm a spirit that doesn't believe in money. And therefore, that's my, what is it, Gary? Gender? My gender does not believe in currency, and therefore I can't renew my State Bar license.
It just was a case of a guy saying that his beer was his emotional support animal, and he was able to bring it on public transportation.
I just don't even understand. What does two-spirit? I'd love to see the State Bar convention where the board or the House of Delegates is voting. Okay, we got to have these categories. Male, I understand. Do they have male under gender, Gary?
Yes.
When Mark
Do they have female?
Yes.
Okay.
When Mark
pansexual?
I believe no, that one's not there. Although I can give you a definition of two spirit in a minute, and I think that pansexual might fall under there.
Well, yeah, so I want to know. I want to know what two spirit. I want the definition of. And I'm what year did you join the bar, Mark?
I joined the bar. I was admitted June 3rd, 1983.
I bet back then it said gender, male or broad. And that was it.
Well, I will tell you this much. Back in 1983, most males, and mind you, that 1983 was just when females were starting to be appreciably represented in law school. I mean, we had a significant number of females in our law school class. My father's law school class, which I think was 1954, Elvis Soper, who later became a municipal court judge, and Yvonne Brathwaite Burke were both in that class. But they were, I think, out of that SC class, which was a notable class, there were the females were a handful. Mine were probably, I don't know, I'm guessing, but probably 20 or 30%. And I had some women who became very successful. But the back then in 1983, if you were a lawyer, you actually, that was a fertile ground to find your wife. You
would, all right,
be in the workplace, you would find your wife. That was not unheard of in the 1980s. Now, if you start to try a dating relationship in the office, you might as well just get your employment practices coverage up to about $40 million, because no matter what happens, even if she wants the bing bang bong, you're going to get sued.
Gary has the definition of two-spirit. I'll tell you, it used to mean to spirit someone away. It was like to usher them away or hurry them away. So it almost sounds like two-spirit, as in to remove somebody from the premises. But Gary will tell us. First, I'll tell you about NetSuite from Oracle. Problem with growing a business is there's a hodgepodge of business systems, one for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. Don't worry. NetSuite by Oracle. Management software that handles all aspects of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time, money, and headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting, orders, and HR instantly, right from your desktop, or even do it from your phone. The world's number one cloud business system. Schedule your free demo right now and receive the free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/doubt. Set up your free demo and get your free guide and do it today. netsuite.com/doubt. You got a business, you want to run a business, you want to run it more efficiently, you want to save money, you go with netsuite.com/doubt. All right, Gary, definition.
All right. Two-spirit refers to a person who identifies as having both a masculine and feminine spirit and is used by some indigenous people to describe their sexual, gender, and or spiritual identity. It is an umbrella term that may encompass same-sex attraction and a wide variety of gender variants, including people who might be described in Western culture as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, transgender, genderqueer, crossdressers, or who have multiple gender identities.
I kind of always say I was born a white heterosexual male, and I now identify as a black, angry black lesbian. So does that make me a two-spirit?
I think you could be. It certainly means.
Okay, so then I'm, from now on, when I renew, I'm two-spirit.
I recommend it.
Okay, so now I've been, my eyes have been opened.
I've not been accepted in the bar, but I did renew my driver's license some months ago, and I checked that X box on my driver's license. So
what's the X box?
I guess the DMV gives you a third choice for your gender, although I'm not sure if that's helpful to the police. I feel like they want to know who you were, but yes, Gary.
Wait a second. If you drive, there's only three options. Is that what you're saying?
I believe I would have gone two spirits for sure if that was on the menu. Also,
yeah, but if you practice law, how many choices do you have, Gary?
Well, you have like 6 and 8 or something.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like a Chinese menu.
It's 5, and then there's a 6 where you can just specify anything you want. But on your driver's license, the X stands for non-binary.
Well, I happen to like it because I grew up watching Speed Racer, and the coolest cat in that show was Racer X. So my driver's license basically says Racer X on it. I don't know. Not everything is progress is what I want to tell everyone all the time who just wants to move forward and create change. Like, not all change is progress. Not all change is important.
Also, this seems to be people who think nuance is better, right? Because this is in somebody's world or through some prism appears to be a more nuanced view. And I'm just guessing. I haven't asked Drew of this, but if I were to ask Drew whether or not this was a potentially a mental disorder as opposed to nuance, I think I know where Drew would fall on this.
Well, we're living in strange times, and I think the computer has sped everything up. So we used to be, things like this used to take place over generations. So guys like us would thankfully be dead before all this stuff was ushered in. Now, guys like us were, this stuff's 2.5 years old. You're going to get the bends, meaning things took so long to happen.
Meaning your book title was not exactly prescient. Your book title got accelerated, right?
In 50 years, we'll all be chicks. Is like I was sitting around 10 years ago, and it was like, what shall we call this book? And I was just sort of licking my finger and holding it up into the air, going like, which way is the wind blowing? And I titled it that because I smelled this kind of coming like 10 years ago, and now it's a full-blown Massengale Gatorade douche bath. I mean, we just won the douche Super Bowl and we're all getting dunked.
Did you ever think 10 years ago that when you said that, I know you believed it and you thought it was a shtick. I get that. But did you really think 10 years ago that we would be where we are now?
No, because you know, there's a funny thing that you can't imagine. And I'll give you a real concrete example of this. Dennis Prager used to joke, had kind of a practical joke he would play in his audience, which is the ACLU is now taking a legal action against the lowercase T because it resembles a cross. And they don't want, you know, they want the separation of church and state, and a lowercase T looks something like a cross. And so they want it removed from any of the Los Angeles, whatever. And he used to tell this story 4 years ago, and it sounded insane. Like, oh, come on. Now, if you hear that story today, it sounds about right. It sounds like it's a Tuesday. Right? That doesn't sound fantastical. Does the notion...
Can I give you another example?
Yes.
That I saw this week that,
please,
I think is appropriate? As you know, we've been covering Unreasonable Doubt, the Harvey Weinstein case in New York, where he's on trial as we speak, as we take this, for sexual assault and rape. And there's been, so far as we're recording this, I think 3 reports, Gary could probably find them, where the supposed news outlet, just like somebody is reporting on the case, has actually, the headline and the article is male lawyer crosses line on cross-examination with female accuser. That literally, I think Damon is the name of the lawyer, and Arthur Adala, and also Donna is trying the case, but Donna wasn't the one cross-examining the witnesses. But the fact that the guy was a male who was cross-examining the female was, I mean, it was the import of the article and the headline, but mostly the article, was that how dare the male lawyer question in a courtroom when a guy's facing life the female accuser. I mean, it was astonishing to read.
Well, I mean, you know, we should have kind of seen where this was going with the Kavanaugh hearings. Like, he's being accused of attending rape train parties in college, and people are explaining that when a woman accuses somebody, she has to be believed every time, all the time, and it's not even up to you to question or judge. People... that is the beginning of the end. Please rein it in a little. Whatever, whoever side you're on, That is the end of our system.
There's a lot of there are significant numbers of people who defend these cases. We've done a couple of them at the office, but by no means are the guys who or women who defend these on a regular basis. But a lot of these college sexual assault cases where they get, you know, there's a male and a female, or at least two spirits that have a couple of drinks, have sex. The female wakes up, regrets having sex for whatever reason, because the guy is ugly, or, you know, she wakes up and can't believe she lost her mind with this guy. And next thing you know, the guy is expelled based on the accusation. And God forbid that there's any due process. You get no due process. It's expel first, ask questions later. And it's really a frightening. I mean, I read these reports. I remember reading one. It was out of UC Irvine. It was in our office, and Bornkopf defended it. And it was like she admitted that she went out with the guy. She admitted she drank with the guy. She admitted she had sex with the guy. But then when she woke up, she didn't like the looks of his feet. It was like he had kind of web toes or something, and it grossed her out, and he had hairy web toes. And the poor kid ended up having to defend against an expulsion because she had second thoughts.
Well, you know, Dershowitz, who we were talking about earlier, was always a darling at the 92Y in New York. I've actually spoken there before, I think, when...
You've spoken at the 92 Street Y?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think,
what year?
I think it was probably when I was out with, in 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. Gary will probably look it up.
2010.
2010.
Oh, 2010 was a century ago.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. Listen, yeah. I've been on The View a few times. You know, there's a whole different world for me. I've transitioned into Racer X. But the point the point
when,
is...
Yeah. When you were on The View pre-Sunny, I take it, or pre-Abby, pre-Sunny, pre-Megan?
Yeah, I was like original crew, old school View. And... Okay. Now, it's funny you say pre-Sonny. It was Sonny who was standing next to me at the DMV who encouraged me to check the Xbox when I was at the kiosk.
You know, your son is such a savant. It's amazing.
But, you know, certainly with basketball and all sorts. But Dershowitz, who was a fixture at the 92Y, his engagement was canceled there a few months ago, and they just told him he's not welcome to speak here. Not because he did anything based on allegations of a woman who evidently pretty meritless stuff, but boy, it's the beginning of the end when you go, hey man, who we've had a long relationship with, you're no longer welcome here because somebody said something that is either true or not true, and we haven't worked that part out, but anyway, hit the bricks.
Well, and by the way, in Alan's defense, you know, he's been accused of everything. He's been, a pedophile and this and that. And it did not get reported widely at all. He moved to recuse the law firm, David Boies' law firm, because David Boies, he had recorded Boies, who was the representing the accuser at the time, saying, yeah, he didn't think that this woman had any credibility. And then they end up joining in the lawsuit against him. And I mean, how outrageous is that? And the judge ended up recusing the Boies law firm. And, nobody except legal geeks or nerds like me even know that that happened.
Well, of course, that's the way it works. All the news is you get accused of something and then everyone goes away and no one ever reads the retraction, you know, on page 19. What about, let's finish with the Weinstein trial. What's your
feeling? Well, I'll tell you something. It's been reported this week. The woman from The Sopranos testified, Rosie Perez testified, somebody else testified, and the way that it's been reported, everybody thinks this is a slam dunk. He's going to be convicted. It's only a matter of time. I have talked to people who were actually in the courtroom and watched the testimony, people who are legitimate lawyers watching the jurors and everything else. And they tell me that the accuser that testified this week did not do well at all. Now, I don't know how.
Is that Annabelle Sciorri, or is that who we're talking about?
Yeah. And they, and Gary can find it. There's somebody who testified yesterday. But the, I'm told that it was, I don't want to characterize it as a bloodbath, but it did not end well. But if you read the media reports, it sounds like he's getting eviscerated. And I'm going to tell you, and it always, it's tough to predict when I'm not in a courtroom looking at the jury, but I talked to not one, but two people in that courtroom who told me, you know, don't be so sure that the way it's being reported is actually what's happening, because it sure seems like this case is not going well for the prosecution.
So the press is always sort of who they are, and they for some reason, instead of reporting things, they want to be on the right side of every issue. And
exactly.
And Weinstein's a pariah. So if you're going to report a story on Weinstein or Trump, for that matter, you're going to do it from a certain posture. So if you're just a casual reader of the New York Times, you're getting the idea that Weinstein's being destroyed up there. But if you have some legal knowledge and you're sitting in the courtroom, you may have a very different interpretation of what's going on.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And look, you've given the exact opposites of the spectrum. You've got Trump on the one side with sexual peccadilloes. On the right, you've got a Weinstein with sexual indiscretions or assaults or rapes on the other, on the left. But people who are in the courtroom, who are actually observing what's happening, who do not have an axe to grind, are telling me, and I haven't been in the courtroom, I haven't seen it, but they're telling me this is not the way it's being reported, what's happening. And, you know, the craziness about this, you know, if it's a hung jury or if he's acquitted, people are going to come out of this and it's going to set them into a apoplectic fit, because they're going to say, oh, you know, what the hell happened, blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's astonishing.
Well, you know, what we're losing in the media is you reporting what accurately and reliably what's going on in the courtroom is not an endorsement of Weinstein.
Right. It's just being an observer. Right.
So who are you speaking to? I mean, you can't use names probably, but like what?
I can't use names, but I've got two people who I rely on frequently when I ask them for their opinion, who are sitting in that courtroom, who understand the case, who understand the accusations and know the players involved, who have watched the testimony and tell me you would just be shocked at what is going on in the courtroom as opposed to what's being reported. And that to me that's concerning.
Well, what it really does is if in fact you get a non-guilty verdict or an innocent verdict, it sends everyone into the stratosphere because they can't believe it, because they've been fed this narrative the whole time that this was going to be a layup for the prosecution, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And you know that that DA's office has had its challenges. I mean, the Manhattan DA's office and Cy Vance, who I have a lot of respect for, and his chief deputy, who I think is one of the most ethical humans I've ever met. There's been just within the last 5 or 6 days, my daughter, Tenny, who works with Mark Ignifilo, filed a motion that called them to task in another case where they found in discovery in a case where their client was being charged with bribery. They found a sworn statement from 5 years ago by the snitch who was cooperating in the case, in which he had sworn under oath that he had not accepted any bribes. The prosecutor never turned that over. Tenney and Mark filed a motion, and the prosecutor, who was a 25-year prosecutor in that Manhattan DA's office, resigned this week. Resigned.
Well, I have literally. I have a last question for you that I'm going to tease. The question is two parts. When is this thing going to wrap up? Predictions and your inside people. How accurate are they in terms of prognosticating when they're in there, you know, at boots on the ground, really experiencing what's going on firsthand with no bent leaning politics or anything? When they tell you, here's how I think this is going to turn out, how accurate is their batting average? I'll first tell you about Butcher Box, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, heritage breed pork, free-range organic chicken, and wild sockeye salmon from the Bristol Bay, Alaska, right to your home. Olga made up some of the salmon with the teriyaki glaze on it and baked it in the oven.
God.
Got it just a little crispy on top. Delectable. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. except for Alaska and Hawaii. Wings for Life, everyone, is back for just in time for the Super Bowl coming up. And right now, for a limited time, you get 3 pounds of chicken wings in every box for the life of your subscription. So as long as you're taking delivery, you're going to get the 3 pounds of wings. Plus $20 off your first box at butcherbox.com/doubt or enter the promo code doubt at checkout. Get the $20 off. Get the wings for life. Butcherbox.com/doubt or enter promo doubt at checkout. So last two, what do you think?
I'm predicting a hung jury. This thing has all the earmarks of a hung jury.
So
I wish I was in the courtroom to look at the jurors, but based on what I'm being told, not being in the courtroom, it sure sounds like the way it's being reported is not what's occurring.
Hung, same as Cosby.
Yep. There's Cosby 1, Cosby 2.
Yeah, Cosby 1.
When tried it and famously flamed out. It was different. But
right.
Cosby now, 1 when. Yeah.
But Cosby, someone was up for re-election, and they just came back around and retried it again, and they got the outcome they wanted this time. Would they do that with Weinstein?
Yeah, I think they'd have to.
So you'd say
I think they'd have to.
Hung, and if then they just turn around and do it again.
They do it again, exactly. There's no way. Not based on the sentiment. In the face of these gale winds, you couldn't just dismiss it.
Sorry for sounding naive. Is hung just got to be right? What's the ratio for hung?
No, it could be one guy could hang a jury.
Just one guy.
I've had jurors. I've had. She's probably 15 or 20 juries that have hung based on 11-1 for guilt.
If it is hung 6-6. Would you not be as apt to turn around and redo it?
Well, remember, one of the biggest, I think, injustices of all time was Sheriff Lee Baca was 11-1 for not guilty. And they retried that case and convicted him and sentenced him to 3 years in custody at age 77 with incipient Alzheimer's. I mean, that, to me, I'll never get over that.
Would you... If it was 50-50, would they be less apt to want to redo it?
Well, the judge has got the ability in most jurisdictions to act as what's called a 13th juror. And as a 13th juror, he can weigh whether or not to let the case go forward again by saying, I'm going to weigh the facts, and I'm either going to say that there's a very little chance of retrying this and changing it. Blah, blah, blah. But famously, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed the case recently where a guy had been tried either 5 or 6 times and then finally ordered the DA off of the case.
Didn't you say the retry favored the defense?
In my experience, if I've tried the first case, I've never lost that I can remember. I could be forgetting something, and I've hung quite a few juries, as I just mentioned. I've never lost a retrial. I have tried cases that I've hung, and then I can think of a murder case in particular where I tried it, it hung. My ex-partner tried it a second time, it hung. And then the third time they got a conviction when neither of us tried it. But generally, if I try it the first time and I try it the second, I think that favors me.
Because you've seen every card they have.
I've seen everything. I know what they're doing. And, you know, God love prosecutors, but they're not exactly... It takes a different skill set to be a defense lawyer.
When do you think this thing wraps up?
Within the next 2 weeks.
All right. Me, February 27th, Cleveland, Hilarities, and then 28th and 29th, February in Indianapolis at Helium. You go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. You can also check out all my movies at Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. And speaking of books, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All Woke, No Joke Culture. Pre-order it now on Amazon and bookmark us and click on through. It just helps. Mark dropped off the line, but his timing was perfect. Say hi to Jordan Harbinger on the Jordan Harbinger Show on Podcast One as well. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.